Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, April 23rd, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 152 in the chapter A Vision for You, and we're going to slide way down to paragraph 3 and paragraph 4 today to unpack those two paragraphs to see what the directions are for recovery for us. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Terry S., the 12 Traditions, Karen W. Reading the text today and being support is Maria F., Dion R., Mo H., Penny C. will greet newcomers and get sponsor contact info, and Robin P. at the very end of the meeting will give you some awesome announcements this morning, so stick around to the top of the hour, please. The share ID numbers for yesterday's meeting, that would be for Wednesday, April 22nd, the 10 a.m. meeting, is 14487, 14,487. And then this morning we already had a meeting at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, and that share ID number for that meeting, which would be for Thursday, April 23rd, 2020, 7 a.m. Here we go. It is 14494, 14,494. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry S. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Terry S., recovered food addict in Oregon. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you so much for letting me do service.
Thanks a million, Terry S. Appreciate that. I will now ask Karen W. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, good morning. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks so much and have a great meeting.
Thank you, Karen W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book means to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet, clear recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And take note here, fellas, this is the star 1 key function only on your phone keypad, please, not your own personal mute on your phone. It still interrupts with technology. Thank you for the consideration. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, A Vision for You. We're on page 152, and we're down at paragraph 3 and 4. And paragraph 3 begins with, how is that to come about, you ask? And then into the top of 153 with, love thy neighbor as thyself. And I will ask Maria F. to read those two paragraphs and then unpack them according to her experience with those, and then we'll open up to others. Hey, good morning, Maria. Let's get started.
Good morning, Melanie. My name is Maria F. as in Frank, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from County Dublin in Ireland. How is that to come about, you ask? Where am I to find these people? You are going to meet these new friends in your own community. Near you, alcoholics are dying helplessly like people in a sinking ship. If you live in a large place, there are hundreds, high and low, rich and poor. These are future fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. Among them, you will make lifelong friends. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties, for you will escape disaster and you will commence shoulder to shoulder your common journey. Then you will know what it means to give of yourself that others may survive and rediscover life. You will learn the full meaning of love thy neighbor as thyself. Yeah, in a sense, you know, where am I to find these people? And the truth is that I don't have to go far today to find fellow compulsive overeaters. There's probably over 300 of us on the line today. And just thinking last week here in Dublin, we had a workshop and we had 537 participants from all over the world. So we're spread far and wide. And I often post, you know, here in the local village, an OA leaflet. And I'm always delighted when I return back and I see that somebody's pulled off the little yellow tab off the leaflet with the contact details for an OA meeting. So I know from that there's many of us within my community. And it says in this paragraph, you know, and you will commence shoulder to shoulder your common journey. And I love that it says that line, shoulder to shoulder, because, yeah, we go through the 12 steps with, I go through them with a sponsee as an equal, you know, with two compulsive overeaters, with that line, shoulder to shoulder, you know, as we share this common bond and what we're working towards is a common solution. Yeah, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing that gives me more pleasure than working with another compulsive overeater. It's where I feel the closest to my higher power when I'm working with another and going through the 12 steps. And just, you know, it's when I bear witness to the transformation in somebody else and I just see the miracle happening in them. God, it's absolutely miraculous. Because that's what it's about, isn't it? It's about going through these 12 steps towards that spiritual awakening. And just seeing that within somebody else, you know, and it says here, you know, you will learn the full meaning of love thy neighbor as yourself. So it's of giving of myself, you know, because yesterday I was having quite a challenging day yesterday and everything seemed to go upside down and I was due to work with the sponsee in the afternoon. And, you know, at the end of that, at the end of working with them, and being with them for a couple of hours, everything went out the window. Everything that I thought about earlier was gone. You know, I came back from that refreshed and just loved the work. And it says here that, you know, it says in the big book, we're told that practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other compulsive overeaters. So it tells me that nothing will work more than giving of myself to others with looking for nothing in return, with no expectations, as two equal people who share this common illness. And the only thing I ever ask a sponsee is, you know, I just say at the beginning, you know, the only thing I'll ever ask is that you will do this one day for somebody else, that this was done for me when I came in. And somebody passed this message to me. And all I say to them is, you know, when you go through the 12 steps and you have that spiritual awakening, go out there and carry the message, because that's what it's about, you know, carrying this message to the still suffering compulsive overeater. And Melanie would have said it there in the preamble, you know, it says, well, our primary purpose is to carry the message of recovery to those who still suffer. And I just have to remember that every day. That is my primary purpose every single day, to carry this message of recovery and hope, because it's hope that I hear. You know, when I talk to a newcomer on the line and they phone up and they're, yeah, thank you, Melanie. Yeah, so it's just to share that hope. Thank you, Melanie. And I'll pass.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much, Maria F. The lines are now open for additional fellows to share on the paragraph 3 and 4. But we ask and admire and are grateful for your experience, strength, and hope. But we ask that if you've shared in the last 3 days, that you step back and let those that have not shared or had the opportunity to share. If you're a frequent flyer here, we love it. We're grateful for that. But if you would step aside for those that have not shared recently so that we can hear their voice of experience as well, that would be muchly appreciated. So if you would like to share, press *1 on your phone keypad, and I'll take your name and the first initial of your last name.
Ricky M.
Robin H.
Maryland.
I have Ricky and Robin and some gentleman's name. I didn't hear you from Maryland.
Dave.
First initial, last name, Dave?
Oh, F as in funny.
That wasn't funny. Hey, if you're on speaker, could I get you to move about? I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. I don't want to miss what you have to say. Share. And then Dion, you said you wanted to share too?
Yes, I wouldn't mind. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Kara L.
Hi, Kara. Thanks, got you. We can take one more. If not, we'll just grab up what we have here and move on.
Gaylene B.
Gaylene?
Yes.
B. Okay, great. Thanks. I'll round up our lineup here for today. Ricky, Robin H, Dave F, Dion R, Kara L, and Gaylene B. Hi, Ricky. Good morning to you. You're up first for 3.
Hi, this is Ricky M from Philadelphia, recovered graciously to my higher power. Thank you so much for being here. I really liked the reading today. So I really relate to the, you know, where am I going to find somebody to give it over to? You know, you get it, you get recovered. Now, where can I give it over? And the truth is really everywhere you go, wherever you go, whatever you do, people are always looking at you. You know, when they start asking questions and it almost feels like they're challenging, it's because they're struggling and they want to know. You know, it's really one day at a time, just being recovered to give over that message. A friend shared with me that you know, her sponsee was struggling at the end 10, 11, 12. I said, you know what, is she sponsoring? Because that's really what keeps you recovered, by giving that message over to somebody else. When I started sponsoring, I was very nervous, very worried. How can I give the message? I don't feel like I have it strong enough. And everybody told me, you know, as you do it, you're going to get stronger. And just do it. Just give it over. Get out there. And every time I feel like I'm kind of like, you know, struggling, I go back to, what am I giving over? Where am I active and where am I part of to give over this message? And I get into, you know, meetings, especially now that we don't have the face-to-face, I get into more phone meetings or different places. And you know what? I don't see the results right away. I don't really know how I'm reaching out, but I believe that just by being present and by sharing and by giving over the strength and hope, someone out there is listening, someone out there is getting inspired. And that's what we can do, because really at the end of the day, a higher power has a story and a journey for us. And we don't know how we're helping somebody else. But if we believe that we have a purpose, then we have to be out there and sharing and giving, even if we don't see the results, because as addicts, we like the instant gratification. You know, you eat it, you feel better. So if I'm sharing, I want to know what I'm doing. But you know what? We don't get to do that. We get to give. Without the ulterior motive of receiving back instantaneously, but knowing in the long picture we are getting stronger and giving over is getting stronger. The gift for me, I find that when I'm working with my sponsee, I gain so much more from her than she gains from me. I'm hoping she gains, but I know I gain so much. And yeah, with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Ricky M. Robin H., you're next, and then Dave F. will follow you.
Hi, good morning. It's Robin H. calling from Boston, Massachusetts, and celebrating my fourth day newly recovering. So grateful to be here and so appreciative of everyone on the line. I love that I have these meetings and I love being part of a community. To me, this paragraph says, what I hear in the paragraph is a sense of belonging, of community, of what it means to share. And just to share without any expectations of other people, just trust and responsibility. I guess I got a lot out of the paragraph. I've spent so much of my life in this disease, the disease of my body, and living with an obsessed mind. And I know that my mind is crazy. And I have spent so much time fighting. And I know when I'm fighting, like I'm trying to fight the disease. I'm trying to fight what my crazy mind is telling me, which is that I'm not part of, I have nobody, I am alone. And the more I listen to others and your shares, I'm coming to trust that I can experience recovery. I can be recovered. But two, the responsibility is mine. Like I'm responsible for my own recovery. I'm responsible for every action that I take. The primary action that I know I have to take is to just like give it up, give up the fight, stop trying to convince myself and whoever else and the universe and my higher power that I can do this, because I can't do it alone. And as scary as it is to pick up the phone and start to call to reach out for help, I started to do it, and it's just meant so much to me. And I know that I am part of a community, and I want to walk shoulder to shoulder. In so many ways, I want to walk shoulder to shoulder. For so many reasons, I can't wait to walk shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm with all of you. And I'm willing to take the steps to make that journey happen, because I can't rush it. And that's so much of what I've always wanted to do. So I guess what I'm learning is to just slow down and to listen. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin H. Dave F., your 3 minutes starts now, and Dion R. will follow you. Star 1, Dave F.
I pressed the wrong unmute button, sorry. Dave in Maryland, compulsive overeater. And I actually find even attending meetings is very much of a 12-step thing. Just, you know, I've sponsored people and been sponsored, but simply showing up or going to conventions or outreach calls are all, you know, the same thing. And they do they do clear the mind. You know, I've done, I've been in recovery for 31 years, and, you know, life is still hard. I mean, it doesn't fix everything, but I will say that moment to moment, reaching out to people reduces the nuttiness in my head, you know, and so I'm doing okay. I'm just really tired. I've been working like 16 hours a day for now 5 weeks on this deal, and I'm roasted. I also find, you know, the prayer and meditation piece, like for me, that's also really big, you know, that rest that comes. I do find when I help people, whatever the right thing that needs to be said does tend to come out of my mouth, but I do need to recharge. And I don't think I've been doing it just because of this business deal I've been working on. I don't think I've been doing as much meditating as I usually do, which is usually a lot. So just, I think I need to do some more of that, but it's, thank you everybody for being here. It's it for me.
Thanks, Dave F. Next up is Dion R. Dion R, your time will start right now, and then Kara L will come in after you.
Hi. Can you hear me, Melanie?
Loud and clear.
Okay, great. Thank you, guys. Thank you for allowing me to share and be of service today. My name is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater. Today, I'll recover from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body because I'm trying to honor our honest program. Can I ask you, someone, did we stop on love thy neighbor as thyself? I don't know why that's sticking out to me.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Oh, thank you. Cool. All right, thank you. Well, yes, I was just reading over that and trying to multitask too much. But just being reminded, oh, my God, something that, highs and lows, rich, poor, white, black, blue, whatever, it's just like this program has saved my life. I have met lifelong friends. Some I haven't seen, some I just encouraged them through hearing over the year, over the phone throughout the year. Some I have met through conventions and things. But that's a common bond that kept me from dying. You know, that kept me from feeling hopeless. That gave me hope, you know, and that's priceless. To me, all these are promises. I love them. I love them. I love them. And the promises of the program. And, of course, the love thy neighbor as thyself was a big heart deal for me because I was always thinking I'm supposed to do this for my neighbor. First you take care of, I think it was and my sick mind was the family and then the kids and the neighbors and their kids or whoever. And then if they had time left, they'd get me. And thanks God for the 12-step program of recovery. Many of them showed me that I wasn't loving others. I didn't know how. And the best way I could love others is to love myself unconditionally. And therefore, it gives me permission to be. First, I had to put the food down. Yes, smash, whatever, paraphernalia, whatever. I had to keep it down. And the only way I can do it a day at a time is through all of you, God gave me this program. This is my prescription to stay sane a day at a time. Just keep it down and keep working on 12 steps. Over and over and over and reading this big book and passing on to others where it was freely given to me. And loving my neighbor as myself, that just sticks out to me. It's like, either accused of hot or cold, you know. If I was too hot or mean, they would say, oh, she mean. If I was so nice, oh, you're so Pollyanna. And this program and many others taught me, just be Dion. Just be yourself, and that's who I like, because I wish I have well wishes for everyone, but hey, but I'm still human. But at the same time, I just want to say thank you guys, and thanks for allowing me to share. Keep coming back to the newcomers and old timers. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Dion R. Kara L., you're up now, and then Gaylene B. will follow you.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Thank you to everybody that's bringing this meeting to us and doing service today, and my fellows who have all joined us here today. It makes my heart happy to know there's so many of us. The line that really stuck out to me, among them you will make lifelong friends. I know that, there's so many opportunities in this program to be of service. There's so many opportunities to make outreach. There's so many opportunities for fellowship. And I just, I went to the Irish workshop this weekend. It was incredible, and it's exactly what I needed. You know, did I want to get up at 5 a.m. on a Saturday and Sunday and Friday morning? No. 5 minutes into it, was I so happy, and I felt part of, and I felt that special kinship of recovery, and it was incredible. This morning, I had an early meeting before this one on Zoom, and my heart was so full. Reading from the Big Book with my fellows and being together, and it really just starts my day off perfectly. Getting on the vision line with everybody, I know you're there. You know, being of service, yesterday I took some outreach calls, and one of them I just listened. I asked my higher power, what am I to do here? And it was to be of service and just listen. You know, you are my group. You are my family. You are my heart. And we are walking shoulder to shoulder in this common journey. And, you know, then you will know what it means to give of yourself, that others may survive and rediscover life. You know, that is a blessing. And I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for technology. I'm so grateful that, you know, I have lifelong friends. I mean, I've been in OA for 16, 17 years now, and there are people that were there the first day I walked in, and they're still there. And they're still the ones I turn to. And they're the ones that I get to listen to. And it is the best, most comforting, heart-filling group of people. And I just can't express enough gratitude for everyone today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. Up next comes Kaylene B., but before I have her come on, I'd like to mention to everybody that we will be opening up the lines for additional comments on that paragraph, and although we value your experience very much, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared the last, what is this, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we ask that you hold off and let other people share today. That would be a wonderful gesture on the part of those that haven't had a chance to share. So, Gaylene, if you would like to take your 3 minutes, we'll open it up again after you to see who follows you.
Thank you. Thank you for your service today. My name is Gaylene B. I'm recovering in Idaho Falls, Idaho. This is my first time calling in to a Vision for You. I'm fairly new to this program. Not new to the rooms of recovery. I've been in recovery for about 12 years, but working on my compulsive overeating now, and this paragraph brought tears to my eyes. You are going to meet these new friends. As I was dying helplessly like a woman in a sinking ship, and that's what I have found in the rooms of recovery and in the Vision for You. I feel very blessed to have had a woman move to our area from Oregon. She was very active in a Vision for You there and moved into our city, and we don't have a strong OA program of any kind. And she started it for us, and I'm grateful to my higher power for bringing me to this program. And I've met these beautiful new lifelong friends in the Vision for You and feel bound to them. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to sit down with someone who's somewhat of a stranger and pour out your heart to them and share your steps forward with them and feel such love from them, like it says at the end of this paragraph. I was kind of really my mind just thought of, as I was reading, "You Will Escape Disaster Together," it reminds me of a great and terrible adventure that you're taking together as you walk shoulder to shoulder to try to heal from compulsive overeating and the issues that are at the root there. And I'm just really grateful for this program. I'm grateful to be a part of it. And thank you. Thank you for this. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Gaylene B. Thank you very much. Okay, so the lines are open to take additional comments on paragraph 3 and 4, page 152 of your big book. Who would like to comment before we close out this meeting? Give me your first name
and
your last name, please. Patty T. And
yes.
Mo H.
Mo.
Mm-hmm. Rachel P. Rachel P. If I didn't call out your name, it's because I didn't hear you and I thought there were two together with Rachel.
Marie F.
Marie F. Like in Frank?
No, F as in sugar. Pardon.
Thank you.
Reba
okay,
G.
Great. Reba G. I could take one more, I betcha. Okay. So in the interest of time, let's get scooting on with this one here. I have Patty T, Mo H, Rachel P, Marie S, like Sam, and Reva G. Hey, good morning, Patty T. Your 3 minutes are coming up right now.
Hi. Thank you so much, Melanie. This is Patty T from Southern California, recovering today by the grace of God. And wow, what an amazing couple of weeks these have been listening to Vision. This paragraph really defines my experience and the ups and downs of my own recovery over the last 14 years. You are going to meet these new friends in your own community. If you live in a large place, there are hundreds. Among them, you will make lifelong friends. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties, for you will escape disaster together and you will commit shoulder to shoulder your common journey. That has absolutely been my experience. I can't say it more eloquently than that. The fact of the matter is that when I came into this program almost 14 years ago, superficiality was my middle name. You know, I needed everything to look right. I needed everything to look good. I needed everything to look perfect. And I didn't need to feel anything about anything, because if I felt, that meant that something was wrong with them. I never thought about it being with me. I always took that for granted. But this program has taught me over time, and just like, you know, another fellow just shared, learning to love myself unconditionally has allowed me to love others in a deeper, more meaningful way, to be in acceptance of other people's humanity. And being in acceptance of their humanity has allowed me to accept my own imperfections and humanity. It's just such a deeper experience of life. And I have friends today that I met the first week I was in Overeaters Anonymous that, gosh, are like my heart, you know, that have helped carry me through 6 years of recurring relapse, that helped bring the message to me when I couldn't go out to get it, you know, that kept me tethered to this book and this message. And thank God, and I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty T. Up next is Mo H, and then Mo, Rachel's going to follow you.
All right, Melanie. Thank you very much. Good morning, my fellows and sisters and brothers in recovery. Mo H, a recovered compulsive eater in Northern California. I had a flashback when we were reading these paragraphs, and it was one of my first sponsors. I came into the rooms in 1989, but I think it was around in the early 90s, and she was going away on vacation. I had become very attached to her, And she suggested that I call this certain person in the rooms to do my work with while she was gone. Well, I was scared to death of this person in the rooms because they had so much more recovery and they were so far advanced. And I really remember being afraid. Well, I'll tell you, God has done work on me, and especially since coming to Vision. So this line, it says, you will escape disaster together and you will commence shoulder to shoulder your common journey. Since I have come into Vision, I have friends all over the world from coming into Vision and just chatting with people in different countries and different areas. And together we work this book. When I get on the phone and I talk to people, it isn't about, you know, sometimes I'll mention the weather or how we are doing, but it's working our program, doing 10 steps or, you know, helping somebody through or listening to somebody as someone shared on the phone. It's a lot about listening and just being supportive of one another. So, I mean, we don't have to go searching for people anymore. There are so many newcomers on this line every day to take down those names and make calls to some of them. And that's just been the delight of my day. So my fear of calling someone, I don't put anybody on pedestals anymore. I call them because I have a question or because they shared something that really meant something to me. And just what a beautiful, beautiful program. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Mo H. Next up is Rachel P., and then Rachel P., Marie S. will come in after you.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive reader in Denver, Colorado. For me, these couple paragraphs sum up why this program works so effectively, and that is that, you know, some psychologists say that the opposite of addiction is connection, and before program, I was so alone. You know, I had friends, but I felt this lifelong wound. Like I couldn't really connect with people, and I didn't have the kind of connections that I craved. And a large part of that was that I was keeping the secret that I binged, and then to come into these rooms and to meet people who did exactly what I did with food. There's just something really special about that, to be able to connect with people who understand what I did with food and body and all of that. And, you know, this program also works because, you know, as this book describes throughout, it's an altruistic way of living. It becomes a purpose. You know, that's something that I think also contributed to this sense of wayward hopelessness and isolation and depression for me, was that I didn't have a purpose. I didn't know what I was meant for. I felt so alone and so unseen, and I didn't know, you know, what to do with my life. You know, I had general ideas, but wasn't sure. And, that's not to say that I can't also have career ambitions and other things, but this program really does give me a purpose. It's a design for living that allows me to entirely focus my attention toward serving others, being of service to others, which is something that I know now that I craved, but didn't know that I craved when I was in the disease. And it's such a beautiful way of living, to be able to give of myself and my experience to these people who feel now as I felt in disease. And I know I really do believe, you know, this paragraph describes, you know, people who are out there who are struggling, and how we'll become lifelong friends, commencing shoulder to shoulder on this common journey. I do believe that God, my higher power, brings people into my life. You know, before program, I would try to manipulate and make relationships happen and feel insufficient in so many ways when things didn't turn out the way that I needed them or wanted them to. And now in program, I get to sit back with a sense of peace and patience and purpose, and my higher power runs the show, not me. And it's such a beautiful way to live. And I'm just really grateful for this program. So thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel P. Marie S., your 3 minutes will start right now, and then Reva G. will come in after you. Marie S.,
hello.
Star 1.
Hi.
Hi, madam.
Hi, can you hear me? Sorry,
madam,
it's my first.
Yeah.
Okay, Marie S. from Meath in Ireland, and it's my very first meeting. I'm a newcomer, so sorry, I'm not used to this, but I just wanted to respond to that passage a little bit, because what I'm blown away with is I've been in and out of OA for a couple of years, but I recently came back, and it's like a whole new thing to me, and there's an awful lot of stuff shifted in me that I don't really understand, but it's almost like I've stopped not trusting people. I've become more honest, and now it feels like this is my tribe. And it's like Harlan over the weekend at the retreat said that we speak the language of the heart. And I believe that, and it does feel like I'm in this with this tribe. I don't know any of you, but it's like you get me and I get you. And that's what this passage is saying. And it was so much fun for me to come on today for my very first one and hear Maria from Dublin that I know actually reading. So that's kind of fun. But anyway, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marie S. Welcome to you. Reva G., you're 3 minutes now, and I bet we'll have time for one more after you, Reva. Star one, madam. Reva G.
This is Reva G. I'm in Brooklyn, New York. And I really don't remember being as deeply moved as I am by this chapter. And I've been reading this book for a long time because it says, near you, alcoholics are dying helplessly like people in a sinking ship. If you live in a large place, there are hundreds. And here I am in Brooklyn, New York, living in a large place, and people around me are dying in hundreds. Only they're dying of the virus. And they were living in a world, people were dying of addiction and alcoholism. And I think that touches me more deeply than I think I've ever been touched by this book. I have long said that I really believe that this book was written in blood, that everything they learned because somebody died teaching it to them. And but here it is in black and white. And it says, high and low, rich and poor. Exactly, everybody here is affected. So I can see myself as part of that. And I always come back to page 77, where it says at the top of the page, at the moment we're trying to put our lives in order. But this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. And, oh, my God, what if people had take that attitude in regard to this pandemic? What if rich and poor try to help each other? It is mind-boggling. What if that actually could come about as a result of all the death and pain and destruction we're feeling around us? So that becomes my prayer for today. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so very much, Reva G. Let's see. I think we have time for at least one more share this morning. Let's see how that goes. Jody
Erica
E.
T. Hi, it's Liz.
I got Jody E. first is the first name that I heard. Oh, look at all those voices coming up here. Let's go with Jody E. and see then what happens after that, okay? Oh, go ahead, Jody. Yeah.
Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you for your service. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. I won't take long. I just want to say that I especially feel a kinship with people who embrace entire abstinence. And I have found most of those people here in A Vision for You. And they are lifelong friends. And all of you are lifelong friends. All of you who are on this path of abstinence and recovery using the 12 steps are my lifelong friends, because we are bound together. We have escaped disaster together, and we are on this common journey. And that's exactly what it feels like, a journey, a spiritual journey. And I'm so grateful to have you all as my fellows along the way. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jody. I heard it in this order, Carrie, Erica, and Liz S., and it looks like we have about, well, maybe 3 minutes left. So let's go with Carrie first, see where that takes us, and then we'll come back one by one if there's more time. Carrie, are you still interested in sharing on the paragraph? Okay, just in the interest of time, because it's a tick-in here. Erica, are you ready?
Yes, this is Erica. Can you hear me?
Yes, let's take you and see where we go from there.
Okay, great. Thank you. This is Erica T. from Northern California. I'm really happy to be here today. This is a great paragraph, and I especially am thinking about the last line. It says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And I know one of the things that I have really learned in this program is how to connect with other people. That's been a big issue in my life, and I keep myself separate. I self-protect. I've struggled so much with shame, and in this program, I've been able to reach out to other fellows and be well-received and really learn to have those close bonds with people. And I could even put that sentence in reverse, love thyself as thy neighbor, because it was much easier for me to do things for other people, to help other people, than it was to be comfortable with myself and confident enough in myself to reach out in a real authentic way. And I so appreciate this program, and especially in this time right now where there's so many less distractions in my life, and it's been vital to be able to reach out to people in the program. All of my lifelong friends are from these programs, and so I'm grateful for that. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Erica. Let's see. Liz S., do you want to take about a minute and a half? If not, I think what I would like to do is use that extra time for newcomers that might be on the line this morning, since it is such a rush time, and then see if we can't really eke out a lot of sponsors today for those that are waiting and interested in that. So have your pen and paper handy for that and get ready for your star one key function. But we're going to close out the recorded portion of this meeting. Thank you so much for everyone that was in service today and made this meeting possible for us to have this kind of solution and delight today. Very grateful for that. So in the meantime, Dion R., would you please read from page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll follow that up real quick with the Serenity Prayer as we transition to the last 10 minutes of our meeting. Everyone else, please press star 1. Dion, are you ready?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Hi, this is Dion.
Hi.
Very compulsive overeater. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come, excuse me, if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then, and I'll pass.